So great to see you guys here this morning. Who's been enjoying the Daniel Dilemma series so far? Stick up your hand. Cool. That's most of you guys around the room. That is really good to hear. I've actually been really loving the Daniel Dilemma series. I've been finding it very timely, very powerful as well, and so many great reminders to actually think about in the realm of how to live a, you know, in a Christian life, in a culture that sometimes is against what we believe, or, you know, sometimes it's a little bit hard to actually stand firm in our faith. And I've been loving that we've been able to talk about how we've been able to keep that balance between truth and grace as well, and how to actually live that out, because it isn't easy, is it? And yet, as we are disciples of Jesus and we aim to follow Jesus and see how he lived, he did that so well, just living a life full of truth but also of grace. And so it's been really great going through this series so far, and I've been really looking forward to actually speaking, continuing this series, The Daniel Dilemma. So the topic that I actually am going to talk about today is unfocused and busy lives. Now, if you know me very well, you would know that this topic for me is a little bit ironic. It's even a little bit funny. And the reason for that is just because I am a very busy person. But put your hand up if you consider yourself a busy person. Yeah, that's it. Unfortunately, in this day and age, you know, we're almost expected to be busy, right? But is this really what God intended us to be? Is this really how God intended our lives to be? Just going to share a little bit about my own life at the moment. I'm blessed with a lot of cool opportunities, but currently I'm employed as a teacher at a few different schools. I'm employed here at Maitland Baptist Church as a pastor. I oversee our youth ministry and our incredible youth team that we have here. I'm also employed as a music tutor throughout the week. I'm also employed as a professional musician. I do gigs most weekends, performing at weddings, performing at restaurants, things like that. I'm a part of or running three different small groups throughout the week. I love to play sports. I also somehow have enough time to spend time with my awesome wife, Victoria, and have a great social life as well. And, you know, the list goes on. So that's just a few things that I get up to during my time. And I believe that it's super important to actually, you know, to really focus on how we spend our time and use our time wisely. For me, I feel like sometimes, because I've been wanting to maximize my time and do as much as I can for even for the kingdom of God, sometimes in the past I have burnt myself out. And sometimes, you know, I've had to take a step back and say, no, I don't want to do that. Sometimes I've got to say no to the good things to make way for the great things. And so I've actually been on a big journey myself over the last few years, trying to battle between, you know, how much time do I spend on certain things. And I believe this is a challenge for all of us, you know, especially as people who believe in Jesus. You know, we want to be able to spend enough time, you know, working to provide for our families. We want to spend enough time to be able to do the things that we love doing. We need to spend time with God as well. We need to spend time doing so many different things, fit it all in our life, and keep that fine balance. So we're going to talk about that this morning. And if you are going to read in your Bible, we are reading from Daniel chapter 5. And we are looking also at the Daniel Dilemma, chapters 10 to 12. Now, if you guys remember a little bit from previous weeks in the Daniel Dilemma, we've actually been looking at how we've got the book of Daniel, which is, you know, in the prophecy section of the Bible. And that is because, you know, a lot of the events that happen in the first half of Daniel are actually, you know, can be actually seen as prophecies, as things that are really relevant to our lives today, and that can really demonstrate circumstances in the way that we live today. And the second half of Daniel, as many of you guys know, is actually a lot of prophecy and a lot of great things in there. A lot of even some things are actually even scary, you know, things about judgment, but all pointing to, you know, Jesus Christ as Lord, and a lot of cool stuff in there. We're going to continue on with Daniel chapter 5. I'm not going to say every single verse, but if you do have your Bibles, then please read along with me. So King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. So you might notice here that King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the previous king, he is not the king anymore. King Nebuchadnezzar is actually King Belshazzar's grandfather, and he has now passed away. However, Daniel is still around at this point in time. So he was hosting a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles drinking wine. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood and stone. So that's basically just the definition of paganism, right? You know, worshipping a lot of different gods who are not the one true and holy God. I'm going to go on to verse 5. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale and he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. Now, who has heard this story before in the Bible? Cool. Most of you guys. That's cool. I haven't really heard much about this story even until I was preparing for this sermon over the last couple of weeks. I just find this, you know, just absolutely crazy, right? It's like something that you'd see out of like your Addams Family or Harry Potter or something. This hand all of a sudden just comes and is writing on the wall in the kingdom. So King Belshazzar's having this big party, this big massive feast, and all of a sudden this hand comes out of nowhere and writes this gibberish just about on the wall. Now, I just like thinking about this a little bit more. Imagine if you were this angel and you were given this assignment from God. And God's like, hey, guess what I want you to do? I want you to go down to this king in Babylon. This, at the moment, Babylon is the biggest city in the world, most powerful city. Right on this wall, however, plot twist, I want you to hide your body. Only use your fingers. Only use your hands. Anyway, just thought it was a bit of a funny concept. So we can see here that the king watched the hand as it wrote, and he was so frightened, his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. I think that's just a really nice way of saying that the king probably face planted on the ground because he, you know, he was just so overwhelmed. He was shocked. He didn't know what was going on. He was so confused. And you would be, right? A little bit of backstory to this, however, you know, it says that he's got a big banquet. Looking into the historical facts about this a little bit, King Belshazzar had actually just been winning a lot of victories, battling in other nations. And so he'd come back home and declared to, you know, his kingdom, okay, the thousand richest people, let's have a massive feast to celebrate. He wasn't actually knowing at this time, though, that there was actually some people in surrounding nations who were actually coming in and they actually stopped a river that goes under the wall of Babylon, and they were actually planning to go under the wall. And so while this was happening, they were actually digging under, making their way in, wanting to assassinate the king. So that's just a little bit of backstory there as well. We're going to continue from verse 7. Then he said to these wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple. So purple is basically for the royal people there. And have a gold chain of authority placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That's pretty cool, right? If you can interpret this, then you can basically be part of the royal family and be third highest ruler in the kingdom, of the most powerful kingdom in the world at this point in time. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified and his face grew more pale. His nobles were baffled. So nobody was able to actually interpret what this writing said. You know, another verse there that I haven't put in talks about how he just summons all the magicians, the sorcerers, all these people to interpret what's going on. Unfortunately, that's in some ways it's a state of our own world and our own life. You know, a lot of people don't know what's going on. And instead of turning to the truth in the Bible and the God of the Bible, they say, you know, let's look at the stars. What do they say about my life? Or let's have a palm reading. What does that say about my life? And it's really sad that people are looking to these sort of things because they offer no truth or help at all. We're going to continue on. The queen said, don't be alarmed. So the queen is his mother, by the way. The queen said, don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. Reminding us again that, you know, these guys believe in different gods, many gods, pagan gods. So that's why they use just holy gods, not the one God. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, he wasn't actually your father. He was the grandfather. Does anybody know, like, the song Father Abraham had many sons? For you guys, yeah. Well, back in this time, everybody called their ancestors father, so that's where they get that, if you're wondering. Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means. So in a moment, they're going to get actually summon Daniel to actually come to interpret what it means. And here is Daniel speaking. Now, Daniel actually knew at this point in time that King Belshazzar was not a king that honored God. He was not a king that worshipped God. He was a king that actually knew about God because his grandfather, King Nebuchadnezzar, actually, you know, if we remember back a couple of weeks back, he actually humbled himself after spending 7 or so years in the wilderness. And anyway, he came back and he was a God-fearing man. However, King Belshazzar did not hold the same respect for God and actually threw that belief out the window. And so Daniel knows this. He says, "Your Majesty, the Most High God, gave your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. But you, Belshazzar, his son, have not humbled yourself. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven." You've set yourself up against the Lord. "You praise the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds his hand in your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription." What I love about this passage is that you can see here that Daniel knows God. Daniel is a guy that actually has a relationship with God. He worships him. All these years later, Daniel has kept faithful to God, just as God has kept faithful to Daniel. And Daniel looks at this writing and he's like, "Hey, I know that handwriting. That's my father's handwriting. It's my father in heaven's handwriting there." Daniel is now interpreting what the writing actually says. This is the inscription that was written: "Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson." Here is what the words mean. "Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end." It's a scary thing for the king to hear, isn't it? "Your days are numbered." "Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting." So God has viewed your life. He's seen your life, how you live your life. And, you know, God doesn't think that you are keeping a good balance in your life. You're not living the way that you're supposed to. "And Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." Your kingdom is divided. Now, how do you think the king would be feeling at this point in time? Not very good, eh? In deep trouble. And I believe at this point in time, the king would have known exactly what he had done wrong. Verse 29. "Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple. A gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Because Daniel was the one who was able to interpret what was actually written on the wall, right? So then he was actually given this gold chain of authority. He was able to become a part of the royal family here. However, I think Daniel would have not really, you know, taken much of that, considering he knew that the kingdom was about to fall. It's like, yeah, sweet, I'm third highest ruler for about a day. Well, I could just get some free food from somewhere because I'm king, and then that's about it, I don't know. Verse 30, "That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain." Ooh, plot twist. He was slain. "And Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age 62. So we've read through these chapters that, you know, this king Belshazzar, he wasn't living the way that God had intended, the way that God wanted, the way that Belshazzar knew he should live. He wasn't doing that. He was living for himself. He was worshipping other gods. It even says in part of the chapter as well, that, you know, he was actually abusing some of the resources used by the church and used goblets sacred in the church for drinking wine out of in a party and getting drunk. And he was doing a lot of things that were not good in the eyes of God. And so he was warned, and then unfortunately there, you know, he died, unfortunately for him. "And Darius the Mede took over the kingdom." So I'm actually going to now talk about some different points that we can actually get from that story there. And to do that, we're actually going to be looking at these three different words: Mene, Tekel, Peres. And we're going to be exploring how these three words can actually you know, be used in our own lives, to make sure that we can use our lives wisely, to make sure that we can use our times wisely, and we can be, you know, constantly in God's will in what we do. Because there's so much great stuff in this. Number one we're going to talk about is my days are numbered. Again, mene. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. So hopefully this doesn't come as a surprise to you guys, but a point that I did want to make on this is that time is our most valuable resource. You know, if you spend money, you can always get more money. You know, you can work smart or work hard and you can get money, but time is something that when it's spent, you can never get it back, right? So time is very precious. Once you use a moment, you know, it's gone forever. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. It's not a very happy verse, is it? People are destined to die once. I think there are some benefits of this though. Even though we do die, you know, I believe that it actually can create motivation for us to live a life that's worth living in the eyes of God. When we recognize our limitations, we are motivated to make the most of our lives. We know that our days are numbered. We know that, you know, our lifespan is, you know, is going to probably be less than 100 years. And for some people, you know, unfortunately, you know, you can get hit by a bus today, you can drop dead. We do not know how much time we have spent left in this earth. And you know, I know that probably most people in this room have unfortunately had people surrounding them, you know, family members, people who have died and passed away maybe too young. You know, my mother passed away when I was young. She got cancer when she was about 28. She died when she was about 30 years old. And you can question God, you know, why did that happen? But the thing is that, you know, people unfortunately they pass away. And it's just part of life. And we don't know how many days we have left. We could have thousands and thousands of days, but we might not have that at all. And so it's so important to make sure that we use every single day as an opportunity to live life to the full, not waste it. To use every single day to actually live a life that's for something bigger than just ourselves. Chris Hodges, who wrote the Daniel Dilemma book, says, live like you're dying. Choose to live every day with a sense of purpose and urgency. Imagine right now you only had a week left to live. What would you do with that? Just going to let you think about that. You know, there's a lot of things that might come to your mind, but, you know, if we think like that, you know, our time is limited. We need to use it wisely and not waste it away doing things that aren't worthwhile for eternity. Then what are we doing? You know, I really love a great demonstration by Francis Chan that I saw not too long ago. I'm not going to do it now. I don't have the props. But he had a huge rope going around the whole room, and then this little bit of the end of the rope was red and the rest was white. And he's like, why are people living for this little amount of time that we have here on earth when we've got eternity, which is so much more than what we can imagine? People spend their whole lives, you know, getting up wealth, getting up, you know, career, getting up their ego, getting up reputations, getting up possessions, you know, 100 pairs of shoes. But how is that going to help you when you're going to live for eternity? A lot in this, hey? Very challenging. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. It's such a great thing to actually pray to God about this. You know, God, show me how to live my life. Show me how to use my time wisely. Help me to spend my days, you know, doing something that's worthy of your cause and your praise. Psalm 39, 4 to 5, along the similar vein, it says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. You know, life is It's a fleeting thing, gone in a flash. How are you going to use yours? 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. I put this verse here as the last verse of this point because I really wanted to bring home, you know, why wait? You know, if you're not good with God right now, then what are you waiting for? You know, I get really saddened when, you know, I've heard people say, oh yeah, maybe God's a thing, but I'm just going to live my life the way that I want to. And maybe when I'm sick or on my deathbed, maybe I might, you know, give my life to God and because I want to get to heaven. And that is not what Christianity is about, is it? You know, if you, you know, are thinking of, you know, pressing into God, then today is the time to do it. Right now is the time to do it. Number two, my life is unbalanced. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. I think there's a lot we can get out of this, trying to find a balance in our own lives. Chris Hodges says it like this, not only are our days numbered, but we are also responsible how we spend them. We need to make sure, again, that we actually spend our days wisely. Matthew 6, verse 31 to 33 says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So if you're wondering, hey, God, what should my priorities be in my life? God said it very clearly in a lot of cool and incredible ways in the Bible, and he's put it here. But first, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God promises that when you seek him first, when you put him first, you know, give him the first bit of your week or that first bit of your income or the first bit of your time every single day. Get up in the morning and say, God, my life is for you today, not for myself. Then, you know, he's going to look after us and he's going to give us the rest and it's going to come. I just think that's so cool. Be intentional. Less is often more. And yes, I'm still learning this in my own life. When I say that less is often more, I mean sometimes instead of doing so many different things with your life, sometimes you can have more of an impact when you only focus on just a couple or just a few because you can actually put yourself fully into it. So I've actually been saying no to a lot of, you know, even great opportunities lately. I love to worship lead at different conferences and different camps and things around for different youth ministries at the moment. But I've had to say no to a few of those things. I've been speaking at some different chapel services at different Christian schools, but I've said no because even though they're things that I love to do, I just have to think, no, you know, I'm doing too much. And the things that I am doing, I want to make sure that I do a good job, put myself into it, that I'm not burning myself out, not running on fumes, but I'm actually taking time to consider God in this, consider my calling in this and do it properly. Another example is that I met up with, you know, Lindsay and Punchy throughout this week. We often meet and discuss, you know, things about the church and how we're going and pray for this church. And one thing that popped up on the radar was that there was maybe a need for a youth ministry, Wildfire Youth Ministry, to start at our Thornton Ush. And that was a possibility that we were looking into. But I ended up saying, no, I don't think that's something that I want to do. Even though it would be great to have, you know, a youth ministry out there for youth who might need it, I actually said, no, I feel more called to making sure that the youth ministry that we have here is actually thriving, the kids are learning, kids are becoming more godly, and that's what it's about. I don't want to spread myself too thin. Maybe just reflecting on your own life. Are you spreading yourself too thin? Or are you focusing on the things that matter, on the things that God is calling you to do? As Christians, we can be really busy doing a lot of good stuff for the wrong reasons. Ooh, it's hard sometimes. Always examine yourself, examine your heart. Why am I doing this? Why am I serving in this capacity? Is it for myself? Is it for my ego? Is it for my reputation? Or is it because I actually spend time with God on a regular basis because I'm filled up with him and I want to give it back to him? Because I know God's love and I want to love people with that love. Are you pouring out of an empty cup? Or is your cup full of what you are doing when you're spending time with God? Here's a great quote from Lin Yutang. The wisdom of life consists in the elimination of non-essentials. Besides the noble art of getting things done, there is a nobler art of leaving things undone. You know, the to-do list sometimes is too long in a day. Who likes to-do lists? A few people around, that's good. To-do lists are a good way to actually prioritize, you know, what you want to get done in a day. But sometimes you get to the end of the day and not everything is crossed off the to-do list, is it? So sometimes these things, same things will be on the to-do list for months. And it's up to you to actually have wisdom and say, okay, I don't have room for every single thing today that I need to get done. So I need to prioritize my time. Sometimes we need to make sure that we're doing the great things, but stripping away just the good things. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance and race marked out for us. Throw off everything that hinders us. Sometimes in life, we can be carrying so many responsibilities or roles, so much baggage. And God doesn't want that in our lives. God wants us to actually operate in freedom, in listening to Him and seeking Him where He's calling us and then executing that and going into the places where He's called us to be. Our lives function best in their God-given design, not culture-driven commands. I'm just rattling off a few different points here, but again, I feel like this is a point that is very important. You know, we've been talking in the Daniel Dilemma how our culture often has a different mindset than what Christianity does, than people who, you know, believe in Jesus do, because they're not thinking about, you know, the eternal aspect of life. They're thinking about just the here and now. And sometimes the things that culture actually will pressure us to do, or our workplaces will pressure us to do, or even our families will pressure us to do, you know, sometimes they're not actually the best thing to do or the right thing to do in the eyes of God. We have to really, you know, keep a solid ground on what we know the truth is in who God is and in the Bible as well. Ministry is an overflow of spending time with God. So I touched on this briefly. But if you are serving, stick your hand up. If you're serving somewhere at this church, put your hand up. There's more than that. That's awesome. Cool. That's really great. That's most people here for sure. And especially with, you know, a lot of great mission things that we are doing this year, it is so great that everybody's chipping in and being part of that. Really encourage you in that space, you know, making an impact for others and expanding God's kingdom. But my question to you is that something that you're doing because, you know, you're spending time with God first, and then out of that, then comes your love for people and your works? Because without, you know, the love, the works don't matter, do they? Without having God in it and without being right with Him, He doesn't care what you do, because it's all about Him and what He can do through you and what He can actually do in the circumstances that you're working in because you're good with Him. So, you know, in my life, I've had times where I haven't been as good with God as I want to be. I've been in a dry patch, and I have to take a step back and I go, no, I really need to refuel myself, spend time with God first. And then once I feel right with that, then I can actually give out. And I think that's huge for each and every single one of us. Chris Hodges says, if it isn't a clear yes, it's a clear no. Evaluate, eliminate, execute. Another way of saying some things that we've talked about where, you know, in life, we have priorities. Sometimes we want to put things first. Sometimes we have to just eliminate them. Sometimes a new thing comes along. And if a new thing comes along, sometimes we have to get rid of an old thing, even though it's hard. We can't do every single thing that we want to do all at one time. And again, this is just depending on the circumstance. You know, if it isn't a clear yes, it's a no. Sometimes, you know, God wants us to test the waters, or, you know, push in and pray about some things. But a general rule and idea which I've been going off is, if it isn't a clear yes, it's a clear no. Because I want to do the things in my life that I can hear from God saying, yes, it's a clear yes. Pursue that. That is your calling. Rest is important and biblical. Who can, you know, honestly say, yes, I take, you know, enough rest in my life, or as much as I should? Now, I'll put my hand up and say I probably don't. you know, at the end of last year, I look back and I'm like, when's the last time, like, Vic and I actually had a really good, you know, weekend together, just the two of us? And it's not as often as we probably want, but I've been getting better at saying no to things and planning, you know, time together and planning times away where, you know, it's so important to rest. God actually, you know, God did it himself. He rested on the seventh day after he created the earth. He demonstrated to us that it's important to have a Sabbath, that it's important to actually not go full speed the whole time, but take some time out. Yeah. Number three, my heart is divided. Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. So you sitting there in your seat, you probably don't own a kingdom, but you do have a heart. And so we're going to talk about how sometimes our hearts are divided and how important it is to actually make sure that our heart is whole and set on the important things and on who God is. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. It means watch, you know, watch what you're taking in to your mind, what you're reading, what you're watching on TV, the conversations that you're hearing, your thoughts. Be very wary of those things, because whatever you get on the inside, whatever you feel and you think about, then that actually comes out in the way that you speak, in the way that you act, in the way that you live as well. We want to make sure that our hearts are, you know, they're holy. That's what we're called to be. Chris Hodges again says, all significance in our lives derives from who he is and how he made us. When we believe that all significance of us derives from who he is, I think that's just a huge game changer. You know, without God, I am nothing. Without God, I can never truly make an impact for people. Without God, I can never truly do anything worthwhile doing in my life. But when he's in it, he changes the game completely. Let him into your life. Let him into your world. Let him into your routine. Let him shake you up if he wants to. Philippians 3, verse 7 to 8. I once thought these worldly things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. I think nothing can say it better than this verse itself. Just everything else is worthless, you know? But to gain Christ is everything. And in Ecclesiastes, some of us know it says something similar, you know? Everything is meaningless if I don't have God. But when I have God, it's everything. So we're going to just go through some points which, I mean, you guys would hear a lot at church for good reason. How to intentionally focus on God. Well, firstly, pray and listen. I think some of us are pretty good at praying. Some of us are not very good at listening and asking God, hey, what do you want to speak to me right now? Actually taking some time out and, God, I'm just going to focus on your voice and hear your voice. Because he wants to say something unique to you. He wants to say something to you that's different to the person next to you. He's got a different calling for you than the person next to you. So press into him and spend time with him. Another one is read his word. A lot of people say, oh, I don't know the answer to these questions. Well, God has given us a lot of answers in his incredible word, inspired word, the Bible. The more you spend time in the word, you know, the more wisdom you'll have, the more you'll know about how to navigate your own life, your own circumstances, the more you'll know God, and from knowing God, you'll know how we're supposed to live. Worship him. The more time we spend worshiping him, the more that we actually make life about him and not about us. And that's huge. Another one is meet with believers. And I commend you guys for all being here today and being part of this church, because it's an incredible part of being a Christian that we're not doing it alone. That we all stuff up, we make mistakes, but, you know, we can all come together as a messy group of people and, you know, encourage one another in our faith, encourage one another in our giftings, in our callings, and trying to interpret what this scripture actually says. So there's some four main points on how to focus on God. I wanted to make the point that when tempted in the wilderness, Jesus overcame with the word of God. You guys remember when Satan, you know, tempted Jesus, Jesus actually, you know, elicited off scriptures and he knew his word, right? And he could stand firm in that. He says, no, that's not right because my Father in heaven says this. And that's the way it is. And I know I myself need to get better at doing that, knowing the word in and out, meditating on the word. I've been running a young bloke's Bible study at my house on Wednesday nights. We have about 8 or 9 of us there. And we've just been going through the book of Mark. And it's only been one chapter at a time, but we've just been meditating on that word and just exploring it and discussing it and looking at what things mean and going through just every chapter and every verse, just saying, what does this actually mean? What did God actually intend us to, you know, to get out of this? Because for me, if I'm just reading the Bible straight through, sometimes I miss a lot of things. We're called to actually meditate on his word, to know it in and out. And then when the devil throws things at us, we can say, no, devil, that's not right. God's got it under control. Luke 4:13 says, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And the point that I wanted to make with this is that, you know, sometimes if we are being solid in God and we say, no, devil, this is the scripture, he'll leave, but he'll want to come back later, maybe in a moment of weakness, maybe in a time where we're feeling down. That's why it's so important to just be constantly aware of the word and constantly aware of things. Because if we have moments of weakness, then that's actually when the devil will attack and when we're feeling down. So that's a bit of a side point, but I thought it was important to actually talk about because we'll all have rough patches. We all have days that are not our best days. And it's important to actually keep firm on God who is our rock in our life. Here's a picture of a compass. And compasses point true north. And I love this analogy, which I'm about to tell you guys. God is true north, right? And the way that he wants to, you know, show us how to live and, you know, his purposes for our life are true north. And what happens if we spend, you know, a little while not soaking in his word? Well, maybe we're not completely the opposite direction away from God, but maybe we're a few degrees out from God. If we're not continuously, you know, pressing into him, we'll drift away either side of what God's calling is for our lives. And what happens later down the track if I'm a few degrees out? I end up way over here somewhere, right? And nowhere near the original purpose. And so it's one of the reasons why I believe it's so important to actually just to keep spending time with God now in our routine, because then we know that we're going true north. We are going towards his calling for our lives, his purpose for our lives. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's a huge thing, huge challenge for me as well. Do I do everything I do in the name of Jesus? Probably not as much as I should, but it's a huge encouragement. So I'm actually going to finish the sermon a little bit different to what we used to. We don't have communion today, but what we're going to do, we're actually going to be getting in to little small groups. Some of you guys are going to love this. Some of you guys are like, oh, I don't want to talk to people. That's all right. You'll get over it. And you will be able to hopefully get something really great from this. I actually want you guys to get in groups of 3 to 5 people. And I want you to answer these questions that are up on the screen. So these questions are, what are things that I should spend less time doing in my regular routine? What are things I should spend more time doing in my regular routine? What are my order of priorities in my life? And is that being reflected in how I live? And the fourth one, how can I focus on God's will more in my life? So those are the 4 things that I actually want us to talk about for 5 to 10 minutes. So I'm going to pray. And then we're going to break up into groups of 3 to 5 for 5 to 10 minutes, talk about these things, and really just be open and honest, hey? And then after that, I encourage you guys to pray. And after 5 to 10 minutes, Aaron's going to get up and the team, and they're going to finish this up with a song. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get in a group. Sounds good? Awesome, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you are so worthy of all the praise we could give you. We thank you that you're worthy of our lives. And we just surrender our lives to you. We surrender our time. We surrender our, you know, our circumstances, our routines, everything that we do, God. Our lives can be messy and busy, and sometimes we don't put you first, and we're sorry about that, God. But we pray that you help us in our lives to be just so empowered to press into you, know you more. Help us to be hungry for your word, hungry to spend time with you. Help us to look forward to spending time with you, God. Help us to know you more than we know ourselves. Help us to be known for loving you. Help us to be known for an intimate relationship we have with you. We pray, God, that you help us to live our lives according to your will and your glory. In your holy name, amen. Alrighty, let's get into some groups and talk about these questions. Thanks, guys.